Welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. This is episode 11 of season 2. Today we have Vivian Cho with us, who is a point scholarship recipient. So
I kind of want to start off by talking a little bit about this point scholarship. So when it comes to point scholarship, point scholarship recipients are talented students with a proven track record of challenging unjust laws and policies, offering guidance to future generations, and using artistry to combat long-lasting discrimination. And in addition to that, they have fearless leadership, and they have battled obstacles, including like immigration status, homelessness, family rejection, and abuse as well. And each one of them has the dedication and resilience to inspire change across the country. And now we're going to start a little bit about this specific case, which is kind of unique because in 2019, there are only 16 point scholars in the nation, and Vivian is one of those. And what is even more amazing is that there is only one institution in the South that has a point scholar, and that would be us here at UNA, which is even more greater. And it's actually UNA's first point scholar, so which is even better. A little bit more about this. Recently, this fall, I know we are starting to into the opening of the Mitchell and West Center for Social Inclusion, which is something that's pretty big too. They made a donation to help start that center. Elliot Mitchell and Clark West, who are actually a same-sex couple. They actually made an endowment to the Point Foundation, which is how kind of helped Vivian in her reception of this award, which is really cool as well. Mm-hmm. She is involved with music as well, which is really cool, even better. You're a cellist, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself? Anything like where you're from? Anything interesting that you think nobody else knows that you would like people to know?
Yeah, totally. I was born in Chicago, and when I was really, really young, we stayed in Fort Campbell for a long time, which is really, really conservative place. So it's always sort of been a big culture shock living here, because I was used to like it being very like diverse and more liberal up in Chicago. And then I get here, and it's a little bit less welcoming sometimes in certain places. I play the cello. I am in the symphony. Let's see, what else?
That's pretty cool. So I was reading, and a pretty cool thing that I found out is that when you were in high school, you actually kind of did a project that utilized, you know, your love for the cello in raising money for the Children's Craniofacial Association. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that project and kind of what brought it about and the results that you saw in that project.
Yeah, so my sister has a condition called Apert syndrome, which is a craniofacial disorder. And so I thought it would be a good thing to do to try to raise some money for them. And initially I didn't expect to raise very much, like playing on the side of the street. But it turned out a lot better than we expected. I played downtown a few times, just like playing some classical music. And we also started a Facebook fundraiser. And I think, if I remember, we made like $500 or more, something like that.
That's a good amount. That's really cool. It's really nice to see something like that happen in the community, especially in a community where the music scene is kind of on the low end right now. It's kind of nice to see that there, you know, was a step up to help with with the Craniofacial Association, which is really cool.
And so with the music scene and everything, there's definitely a lot of reasons to choose to come here. So why did you choose UNA?
I've lived in Florence basically my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, it's close to home, and it just seemed like a good place to me. And also I knew my cello professor in high school because he was my high school teacher, And in like classical music, it's really important to have like a really good rapport with your whoever's teaching you. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it would be a good idea to come here.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And so going back to the Point Foundation Scholarship, so how did you find out about the Point Foundation Scholarship and why did you choose to apply?
I was actually volunteering for my GSA, and there was, I think it was at the McKinney Building, a sort of like a dinner sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Clark and Elliot were there, basically announcing that they had given money to the school. Mm-hmm. And also Jonathan Rosales from the Point Foundation was there as well. Mm-hmm. And I learned that it was an option there. And mm-hmm. I decided to apply for it mm-hmm. a little bit after that.
And so I was reading on the application process for the scholarship, and it's pretty extensive. Can you kind of explain exactly what you had to go through in terms of, you know, in interviews or, you know, I think at one point you had to travel to California, I think, and just kind of give us the extent of that, because that's a long process from what I was reading.
Yeah, I think I applied sometime in like November, and it starts out, you like have a little website application, and there's a bunch of like prompts and questions and like little essay things that you have to turn in, and like other things like financial documents and whatnot. So after you turn all of that in, they kind of decide whether they want to interview you, and then they'll do a phone interview with you. And after you do that, if you get past that, I think that's like the semifinals round. If you get past that, then you go to the finals round, which is in LA, where they like fly you out there, and then you get to meet all the other people who applied as well, and you have to sort of present to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell them about yourself and like what you want to do and that sort of thing. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun for sure. I know, you know, for most scholarships, you know, you do all the online mm-hmm. stuff, but this is one of the only circumstances I've actually heard of having to travel to an entirely, you know, across the country from here. So that's pretty crazy. But I know it's definitely worth it because Vivian is on full scholarship because of it, which is awesome. Because I know, especially in today's society, it's a little hard to be able to pay for a lot of stuff. And it's always nice to be able to know that you have the stability in not having to worry about the money situation and just being able to come and study and be, you know, kind of how you want to be in life without, you know, the worry of whether or not you're going to be able to afford it.
Absolutely. And so you are, of course, the Point Foundation's recipient. So what does this mean to you now that you know that you've gotten this? And do you see yourself as a role model?
It's kind of weird for me to think of myself as a role model, but like, I really think that Point has like given me an opportunity to like be more like helpful, like mm-hmm. to do a lot of things. And that's one of the things that you do when you're a Point scholar is you do a community service project, I think mm-hmm. once a year. I think that's a really, really good opportunity because I really enjoy doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like because you have sort of like institutional support to do it, it mm-hmm. makes it a lot better and more effective.
And I know we're gonna talk about your project here in a second, but I know that also a part of it is that you actually get you get assigned a mentor, which is really cool.
Yes.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, if I'm correct, we actually had your mentor on our podcast a couple weeks ago, and it's Matthew. Kind of tell us how you feel about that, and having a mentor like Matthew.
I was super happy when I found out it was Matthew because I had met him a few times before at like Equality Shoals meetings mm-hmm. and stuff. And yeah, he's really nice. And like he's got a lot of useful input.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like very, very excited about working on it. I can tell.
Definitely. And are there any like, do they just randomly choose these mentors, or how does kind of the mentor process, how do those mentors get chosen?
They choose them based on like geographical location, like how mm-hmm. close they are to you, and then also on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they just search out either like someone who's like an alumni of the Point Foundation, or someone who's just like a notable like activist in your field, kind mm-hmm. of. Yeah.
That's really cool, and I think Matthew is definitely a good yeah. fit for that.
Most definitely, yeah.
So now let's kind of get into your project a little bit. Do you already have your what you're planning to do planned out?
Yes, I actually just got it approved like earlier this week, I think.
Ooh, do you want to give us a little insight about that?
Yeah, so originally the plan was to make a clothing closet for transgender people. But sort of as we were like talking about it more, and I got to go to some workshops on it while I was in LA just the other week, I realized that there's probably a more pressing need, because a lot of schools in Alabama and in the South in general are like, they don't let you make GSAs, which is technically illegal. Mm-hmm. And it's a big problem, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Alabama only has like 2 GSAs in the entire state. And it's a pretty conservative state to begin with. So the fact that the students don't really have any support from something like that is really bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my project is essentially based around trying to see which schools we would be able to start GSAs in, like we would be able to get enough participation in, and go there and help the students organize a little bit, and then sort of give them a legal basis to be able to do it. And also try to point out any discrimination if we see it. Because mm-hmm. Certain things are definitely legally protected under like Title IX and things mm-hmm. like that. And there's a lot more violations than you would really think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we really want to try to like hold them accountable and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of something that I was reading before as well. Another situation that kind of happened like that around our campus was Wendell Gunn actually. I think they had just passed a law that made it to where, you know, schools couldn't be segregated anymore, college-wise. So, but he still was having problems enrolling. So he actually had to sue the school to even get enrolled, which is crazy. And I think that, you know, at this day and time, you know, where we should have all the rights that we are entitled to through our constitution and all that, like equally as well, should be kind of accepted, but they're like, we see cases where they're not all the time, which is, I think it's definitely a good thing that we're trying to progress towards mm-hmm. all that to all the acceptance that we can, to where everybody can be equal, like our Constitution does state.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so, and our next question is, do you think that Florence and Shoals is progressive, or at least getting there? And what are your hopes for the future?
I think Florence and the Shoals are definitely more progressive than the rest of the state. Yeah. And they're definitely getting there, especially UNA. UNA is so good about like LGBT things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we are getting there. There are, I think, some definite instances where things are not like they should be. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, what are your hopes for, you know, going forward with, you know, Florence and Alabama and in the country as well?
I would hope that things really just kind of aren't so hard for people mm-hmm. anymore. Like, especially in, like, public schools and, like, public institutions, it just shouldn't be that hard for mm-hmm. people. Like, I mean, like, public schools, and then, like, getting government documents is just so hard when you're LGBT sometimes. And I just really don't think it should be like that. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see some kind of improvement in that aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our last question is kind of more of a personal opinion that we're asking, like, what do you think that one person, like just one person, can make a difference? And if so, how can they make a difference? What can they do to get out there to make the difference?
I do definitely think that one person can make a difference. And I would say the biggest thing you can do to make a difference is to just call things out when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that happened at my high school. There were some issues there, and one of the students called it out, and it ended up inciting some changes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that doing that in any scenario is definitely a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important now that, you know, where we're located in the Bible Belt and everything like that, There's a lot of things that need to change. And and I know that a lot of people aren't willing to listen to certain people. And so being able to call things out when you're in that position where you can call things out and you can speak freely is important as well for the people that can't. For the people that aren't allowed to, because, you know, people silence.
Yeah, definitely.
And I do know that, I don't know where I was going with that, but I do want to ask if you have any advice for anybody who's looking to be a part of, you know, the Point Foundation, who is looking to apply or who's afraid to apply because of the kind of lack of Point scholarship recipients here in the South. Do you kind of have any advice or insight on the road that you took in order to get that to help them, maybe?
Yeah, I would say definitely apply. We definitely need a lot more Southern Point scholars. And I'd say basically just focus on trying to help as much as you can. And even if you're in some sort of situation where you might not have as much access to things, or you might not be able to like go mm-hmm. places for financial reasons, they will help you out.
Yep.
They will help you out.
For sure. So first, we want to thank you so much for coming and being part of this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here.
It's definitely no problem at all. It's a huge accomplishment that you've managed to, you know, get this scholarship, and that you're getting so involved on campus with the Inclusion Center, as well as just, you know, on your own, which is great, with your service project too.
Yeah,
it's really great. Definitely, if you guys meet the criteria for the Point scholarship, definitely go and apply. It can definitely help you. It's helped Vivian, so take her story and you can apply it in which ways it helps you. Do it, because if you're afraid to do it, it's not gonna happen. So you take that first step, get out there, and get it, and you're more likely to accomplish than to just stay closed in.
And I also think that for those of you that are, you know, like, you were having, you know, a moment of, oh, well, this is going on and what do I do about it? I hope that this podcast also tells you, like, hey, do something, you know, speak out, because it's, trust me, it's important for, you know, to resolve conflict that's going on. Everyone needs to pitch in, because we're not going to get anywhere if we just stay silent, so.
Mm-hmm. And we did an episode with Dr. Hunt for the Social Inclusion Center as well. Go check that out to find out more about exactly what, you know, what the center's mission is and how they look to help the university and the community. Go check out our episode with Matthew as well. That one was really well, really good. Check it out. He was very fun to have on here.
Mm-hmm.
Very lively, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great. Check us out on all of our social medias, UNA Soda Pop, and on YouTube through the University of North Alabama School of the Arts YouTube page. It's a very long name, but it works. Go check
just
it out.
Just type that up and it pops up.
Check it out. Go check out all of our other episodes. Share this podcast, social media, with your friends, with your family. I mean, you could... I don't know how to post on the Explore page, but do that. But we really want to thank you guys for listening and being a part of the podcast. This second season's gone really well.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since we're coming to I think we have 3 more episodes left of the first semester-wise of episodes, and it's going great, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for your support.
Yeah.
We have seen a really big growth since our beginning in October last year. Mm-hmm. So it's been a year.
Oh, yeah. I know.
That's crazy. I just realized that.
It's crazy.
It's been a year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it has. it's so crazy how much this has grown as well with our podcast, like what we've been able to accomplish and, you know, people we've been able to have, mm-hmm. and the things we've been able to say on here. That's one thing that I'm very happy about as well, that we have that, you know, kind of not like, you know, freedom to be able to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, things that need to be talked about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.